I'm Art Jobo, Fillmore Street. This is Spielpod.com, the week in Georgia and English, coming to you from San Francisco's magnum opus, the Lord Haight. Today is Thursday, the 18th of June, 2015. On this date, in 1778, after 9 months of occupation, the British abandoned Philadelphia to the Continental Army. In 1812, the War of 1812 begins. In 1815, Napoleon is defeated at Waterloo. In 1830, the French invade Algeria. In 1923, Checker Cab produces its first taxi at its Kalamazoo factory. 1979, Carter and Brezhnev signed the SALT II Treaty, which, thanks to the invasion of Afghanistan, was never ratified, although the U.S. and USSR agreed to adhere to its tenets until Putin decided not to. Birthdays today are musician Paul McCartney, actress Isabella Rossellini, daughter of the Tsar Anastasia, actress Jeanette MacDonald, movie critic Roger Ebert, children's author Chris von Allsburg, and Red Adair, the famous oil firefighter from Texas, is 100 years old today. Also, sadly, but amusingly, today is Human Rights Day in Azerbaijan. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, the podcast was written by Ari Tsuyeka. My Georgian journal in Fides Politra, column this week, is a eulogy to Alex Rondelli, an enormously important figure who died, sort of invented serious Western-style international relations faculty at the university. He's a brilliant scholar and all-around wonderful guy. It's very sad that he's gone. If you'd like to comment or form on the question, comment on the form or ask a question, go to tfieldpod.com or send us an email at tfieldpod@gmail.com. On the evening of Saturday, the 13th of June, there was extremely heavy rainfall in Tbilisi that caused flooding of the Vere River, or really kind of a creek, which is a very small river between Vaki and Sabratalo districts along the highway that was built under the national movement. Flooded 4 kilometers worth of highway leading to Hero Square, sweeping up cars and houses, destroying roads, and destroying the Tbilisi Zoo. 19 people were killed in the flooding, and as of the 16th of June, 6 remain missing. Initially, the body count was lower, and bodies were found throughout the days following the flood. During rescue searches, 2 bodies were found in Mziudi Park in Vake on the 16th of June after being missing for several days. Spanidze Street in Vake was badly hit. 5 people died there. 4 people died in the flooded Tbilisi Zoo. 3 of them were zoo employees. There's a large amount of mud and debris in the area. Some of the roads and infrastructure destroyed. Heavy rain also caused a landslide on the Skeneti-Bitanya Road outside of Tbilisi. Large holes appeared on Melikashvili Street in Vera and Chachavadze Avenues in Vake, sparking more fears and discussions on bad construction. Because of the closed and destroyed roads, there were several traffic jams on the 14th of June around the city. Many of the animals in the Tbilisi Zoo drowned in the flooding because they could not escape their cages, as well as dogs at nearby dog shelters. Some of the animals from the zoo escaped, and there were lions and other large cats, wolves, and hippos going free in the streets. Residents were warned not to go out on the streets on the 14th of June because of the animals. Made international news, and there were lions and tigers and bears stories going up all around Tbilisi. There was a major hunt to contain the wild animals, and many of the large predators were shot and killed by the police, others sedated with tranquilizers. Patriarch Ilya II helpfully said the next day on the 14th of June that the zoo should not have been there and would not survive there. He said, "There used to be a monastery in that location, and that when the communists came to power, they destroyed it, and the zoo was funded with money from melting down the bells of monasteries, so it was founded on sin, and therefore what followed was a punishment." Prime Minister Garabashvili also said that, according to experts, the infrastructure of Hero Square was flooded, and that was built by the previous government. It was designed and built badly, so the flood was the national movement's fault. Mm-hmm. Day after the flood, hundreds of people in Tbilisi volunteered to help clean up the flood damage and also give aid to victims of the flood who lost their homes, either by giving money or donating items and food. Over 40 families are left homeless. There's also crowdfunding initiatives via WeHelp and an Indiegogo campaign where people can donate online or through the Red Cross of Georgia. Cleanup work is still continuing every day by efforts of hundreds of volunteers. Monday, the 15th of June, was declared a day of mourning for the flood victims and was declared a non-working day, also to allow some infrastructure repair and to have fewer cars on the road. People have also been expressing outrage, accusing the police of unnecessarily killing some of the zoo animals. Zoo staff reported that some police posed for pictures with dead lions and tigers. Damage from the flood was initially estimated at 40 million lari, but Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri says, in fact, it is much higher. On the 16th of June, Prime Minister Garabashvili updated that according to newer estimates, there are 100 million lari in damages. Both the EU and US have said that they are ready to provide assistance to Georgia for the recovery efforts. U.S. Embassy employees in Tbilisi participated in cleanup efforts. Finance Minister Khaduri and Tbilisi Mayor Datu Narmania met with the representatives of the diplomatic corps in Georgia, updated them regarding the damages caused by the flood. European Commission said on the 16th of June that they would give 3 million euros, which would be made available to help provide durable housing solutions. European Commission also provided 400,000 euros in humanitarian funding to assist the most affected families. Funding will support the Georgian Red Cross and NGOs in delivering relief, including food, household items such as blankets, cooking kits, water, sanitation, hygiene, medical support. More than 4.2 million lari has already been donated to the relief effort, according to the finance ministry. 1.7 million lari, $31,000 and 1,000 euros came from individuals. Apart from those donations, the government has allocated 10 million lari. 200,000 will be taken from the president's reserve fund and 150,000 from the government's reserve fund for the families of the dead. On the 16th of June, the State Security and Crisis Management Council, now headed by former Defense Minister Mindia Janelidze, announced that zoo animals were accounted for. All animals that survived the flood are being housed in temporary enclosures in the upper part of the zoo. Parliament convened for a special session in Kutaisi on the 16th of June and unanimously approved presidential decrees authorizing the use of an armed force in the flood relief effort. The National Bank is offering some respite and leeway on loan payments, loan repayment obligations for victims of the flood. National Bank President Gheorghe Kadaghidze confirmed that the bank will work with the victims of the Tbilisi flood to settle their bank liabilities as comfortably as possible. Tbilisi Mayor Datu Narmania also revealed a plan to move the zoo to the outskirts of the city, such as to the Tbilisi Sea area, and create a different recreational area where the current zoo is. Another update assessing what caused the flood damage. Prime Minister Garabashvili said that the working group will be established to study the causes of the flood, prepare a report, and reiterate that many experts say the tunnels and the new road in Vera Valley largely caused what has happened, as opposed to rain. I do not exclude that the prosecutors will be interested in this issue. Oh, boy. After Janelidze announced that all the animals were secured and that this information was confirmed, the next day, a loose white tiger attacked and killed a 40-something-year-old man near Hero Square, not far from the zoo. It happened inside a building used as a storage house where workers were doing some cleaning. The tiger was shot and killed by law enforcement agents. A spokesman of the zoo, Mzia Shadashidze, told journalists on the 16th of June that at least one tiger, as well as a striped hyena and a bear, were unaccounted for. Prime Minister Garabashvili apologized in a live televised meeting with senior officials for spreading inaccurate information 2 days earlier, when he also announced that not a single animal from the flooded zoo remained on the loose. He, however, also said that he was relying on information provided by the administration of the zoo, its director Zurab Gurielidze, saying Gurielidze told the emergency response team and the Interior Ministry multiple times that no animals were outside of the zoo. Garabashvili then called on the chief prosecutor, well, that phone's quite warm in his office there, to launch an investigation into the case. According to the chief prosecutor, Badashvili, an investigation was already opened under the clause of criminal code dealing with negligence of official duties. The head of the Tbilisi Zoo, Gurielidze, then said that it was his fault that the government announced wrong information about animals remaining on the loose outside of the zoo. That was their source of information, and now it's all his fault. He said that the zoo administration thought the white tiger had been killed and was buried under mud and debris. But it turns out it was alive. He asked asked if he had been interrogated by the police. Gurielidze said that he had certain meetings with the police. He then went to the Tbilisi prosecutor's office for questioning. Many people are speculating that Gurielidze was possibly pressured by the authorities to take the blame, also considering that zoo employees had warned that some animals were still on the loose. There was an impromptu protest rally outside the government office in Tbilisi on the 17th of June. Hundreds of people turned up. It was organized on Facebook. The rally was in support of Gudielidze and in protest against what they said was the authorities' attempt to make the zoo director the scapegoat. The protest continued for hours. People lit up their cell phones to glow in the dark when it got, after the sun set. When Gudielidze left the prosecutor's office on the evening of the 17th of June, he said that he was asked by investigators about mistakes made in the process of recording which animals were unaccounted for. Prosecutor's office also said they plan to question the Interior Ministry employees as well as representatives of the State Security and Crisis Management Council. Prime Minister Kadabashvili had held a televised meeting of the emergency response headquarters, which was set up following the flood. Zoo Director Gudielidze was present at the meeting. At the meeting, Gudielidze denied rumors that the authorities were planning to arrest the zoo director and praised him as a professional. Prime Minister also told Gudielidze that nothing was his fault. He claimed that the rally outside the government was organized by the UNM. Zoo Director Gudielidze reiterated that one tiger and one striped hyena were still unaccounted for, that some enclosures in the zoo were in debris and mud, and it's unknown if the tiger is dead in those enclosures. There were rumors and reports of a tiger spotting in Vake, and police cordoned off a street, but found nothing. Ayuf Bochurashvili, Borchashvili, a native of Pankisi Gorge, was arrested on the 14th of June in the village of Gombori outside Pankisi Gorge by the counterterrorism unit of the Interior Ministry. He was arrested on charges of allegedly recruiting fighters for the Islamic State group. He is the imam of the village of Jokolo. Two other men allegedly recruited by Bochurashvili were arrested in Tbilisi Airport on their way to Syria via Turkey. Another man was also arrested who, according to the Interior Ministry, was also recruited by Borchashvili and was planning to leave for Syria. Police only revealed the initials of their names and their age from 18 to 24. Masked and armed special forces servicemen were deployed at Borchashvili's house in Pankisi Gorge on the 14th of June while law enforcement officers were searching the house. The Interior Ministry claims Borchashvili is a representative of ISIS in Georgia, that it was Borchashvili who recruited and sent two schoolboys from Pankisi Gorge to Syria in early April. Special Operation Pankisi Gorge on the 14th of June, police also detained the cousin, brother-in-law, and friend of ISIS field commander and Pankisi native Omar al-Shishani, or Tarkhan Batrishvili. About 100 special forces were at the house of one of al-Shishani's relatives for several hours questioning family members. Several of the detainees were released the next day on the 15th of June. On the 15th of June, Georgia signed an agreement with France on the procurement of an advanced system that will guarantee the country's air defense, according to the Ministry of Defense. Another deal is being prepared for an arms purchase, according to Defense Minister Tina Coghi-Deschelles. She arrived in France on the 12th of June, met with French counterpart. Information is scarce about the deal. The Ministry of Defense has released neither the type of the system or how much they're paying for it. And even the company that the deal was signed with. The Ministry of Defense did, however, release a brief video of the signing from which it's possible to understand that the agreement was penned with Thales Raytheon Systems, TRS, a joint venture of French defense electronic groups Thales and U.S. arms maker Raytheon. TRS produces a range of ground-based surveillance radars, air defense command and control systems, as well as and also offers cyber capabilities. A small replica of what appears to be a TRS-produced GM-200 medium-range multi-missions radar was seen on the table while Kadabashvili and the company's CEO were signing the agreement. Ministry of Defense video also shows Kadabashvili observing Skyview, a TRS-produced air defense command and control solution. Defense Minister Kadabashvili said, without elaborating more details, that she would be traveling back to France in a few weeks to sign another agreement. She said, this deal is just the beginning of the first step. We are not going to end the process with it. Our government has much bigger plans, and very soon you will learn about another agreement, which I hope we will sign in France very soon. Kadabashvili also thanked both of her predecessors, Irakli Alassani and Mindia Janelidze, for making the agreement possible. As a reminder, in early April, Alassani claimed that the government abandoned the preliminary deal, a non-binding memorandum of understanding, which he negotiated in France in late October 2014. The allegation was strongly denied at the time by then-Defense Minister Mindia Janelidze. Early in the week, Defense Minister Kadabashvili told Maestro TV that the air defense system deal with France was actually finalized by John Alidze, that before that, Alassania's negotiations was just a collection of wishes. She elaborated that when John Alidze was minister, work started on the legal and financial parts of the document. Irakli Petriashvili from Alassania's Free Democratic Party responded that most of the layout of the document in technical and financial terms was agreed when Alassania was defense minister, not John Alidze. Following up with Georgian former officials in Ukraine, on the 13th of June, Deputy Interior Minister Ekes Guladze presented the new reformed police force in Kiev, along with Ukraine's Interior Minister Arsen Avakov. More than 1,900 new policemen were present for the ceremony. Chinese company Pegasus East West purchased a 230-megawatt combined cycle thermal power plant in Gardabani for $290 million. The agreement was signed with the energy minister, Kahi Kaladze. The privatization of the Gardabani thermal power plant was part of the idea of privatizing state assets to help the currency crisis. Construction of the Gardabani TPP started in January 2014. The project was jointly financed by the Partnership Fund, a state-owned shareholding company, and its daughter company, the Georgian Oil and Gas Corporation. The TPP is expected to begin producing power around this fall. American private investment firm Schultz Global Investments is offering $100 million to develop and support Georgia's energy sector. They announced they will invest in the Caucasus Clean Energy Fund, which is aimed at making equity available in the energy sector for Georgia's small and medium hydropower plants. Equity investment will target hydro plants in the 10 to 20 megawatt range. Caucasus Clean Energy Fund will obtain finances from two major institutional investors, the Global Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Fund and the Development Bank of Austria, which will invest $13 million and $7 million, respectively. Russian Ministry of Defense said that 1,500 troops from its military base in South Ossetia were involved in military drills in Zartsemi, north of Skhinvali, on the 10th of June. It said that the reconnaissance drones Zastava, Granat, Orlan, and Lear, as well as modernized T-72 BM tanks, BMP-2 infantry fighting vehicles, Akatsia and Gvozdika self-propelled howitzers took part in the military exercises, all very scary. Georgian Foreign Ministry responded that the drills represent, quote, an infringement in Georgia's sovereignty and territorial integrity and a gross violation of the commitments undertaken by Russia, including under the 12th of August 2008 ceasefire agreement, end quote. President of Bulgaria visited Tbilisi on the 17th of June. First time a Bulgarian head of state has visited in 15 years. He met with President Margvelashvili. They visited some of the areas destroyed by the flood. 17th of June, Georgia was supposed to switch to digital broadcasting, but it was delayed until the 1st of July in light of the severe flooding that hit Tbilisi. Economy Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili is responsible for the digitalization process. He said that it would be better to do it when the country was not in such a stressed situation. As a reminder, an agreement between the International Telecommunications Union and the EU determined that all European countries needed a switch from analog to digital broadcasting in 2015, and Georgia as well. Georgia's effort to go digital will begin in Tbilisi step by step. Digital signals will be distributed all over the country until the end of 2015. Households must purchase a special top box for about 50 to 100 lari to be able to receive digital signals. Households do not have a top box by the 1st of July when the analog signals will be cut off. They will no longer be able to receive a television signal and will have to listen to podcasts exclusively. Following up on last week's story, after a 10-day search, rescue workers discovered the body of a shepherd who was killed by a landslide on the 2nd of June, along with hundreds of sheep and cows. His body was found on the 12th of June under the ruins of a hut in Shatili in Khevsudet. The rescue workers had been searching for him through the mud and landslide that was 8 to 10 meters deep and continued for over 700 meters long. Public broadcaster fired sports commentator Sandro Snobiladze after he made several mistakes commenting on an under-19 football match between Georgia and Portugal that was on the 31st of May. Channel 1 was covering it live, and Snobiladze was mixing up the players, teams, and also the score. His mistakes even caught the attention of the BBC. Snobiladze has been covering matches live since 1996. His supporters created a number of pages and groups on Facebook demanding he get his job back. President Margvelashvili pardoned 226 prisoners on the 12th of June. 180 of the pardoned inmates were let out. The rest had their sentences reduced. Among the pardoned prisoners were 14 women and one minor. According to the President's Pardon Commission, the inmates had been convicted of drug-related crimes, transport and security violations, fraud, theft, physical assault, and illegal movement at the borders. The work of Georgian female director Nuzsa Gogoberidze was shown at the Memory International Film Heritage Festival in Myanmar. Under the theme Women, the festival hosted three films made by three different generations from the same family. They showed Buba, directed by Nuzsa Gogoberidze in 1930, some interviews on personal matters by her daughter, Lana Gogoberidze, and a modern movie about a woman's life called Line of Credit, directed by her granddaughter, Nuzsa Alexi-Meskashvili, commonly known as Salome Alexi. A Georgian book corner at the National Library of Catalonia will be officially opened on the 26th of June in Barcelona. Meanwhile, to mark Georgia's Independence Day, which was on the 26th of May, a Georgian book corner opened at the Forest Hills Library in New York. Parliamentary news. Following up on last week's story, on the 12th of June, Parliament passed with its third and final reading legislative amendments to broaden the scope and range of offenses and other activities linked to the participation in illegal armed groups. It also criminalizes traveling abroad and an attempt for terrorism. Parliament confirmed two new judges for the Supreme Court nominated by President Margvelashvili for a 10-year term. Mzia Todua was confirmed 81 votes to 1, has served for almost 9 years in senior posts at Kartu Bank. And Ekaterina Gesitashvili was head of the Supreme Court administration from 1999 until 2006 after briefly serving as deputy justice minister. Since 2006, she has been with a private law firm as a lawyer. She served as a consultant to the new chairperson of the Supreme Court, Nino Gvenatadze, since March. On the 12th of June, Parliament passed a new bill about juvenile prisoners. Under the new regulations, all criminal cases involving minors will be handled by police officers, investigators, prosecutors, and judges who specialize in juvenile offenses and juvenile offenders. Youth offenders will now have a reduced pretrial detention period from 60 down to 40 days. Youth offenders' conviction status will be removed as soon as their sentence period has finished. The period of being classified as an accused will be extended up to 6 months. Also, notably, there will not be life imprisonment for juvenile prisoners. It's replaced by house arrest. Imprisonment as a form of punishment will be used only when it is strictly necessary, particularly for severe crimes where a youth is sentenced to a maximum sentence of 10 to 15 years imprisonment. Also on the 12th of June, Parliament launched deliberations on a voluminous package of legislative amendments envisaging decoupling the security intelligence agencies from the Interior Ministry, the pack which were together under Shevardnadze and were combined under Mishra. The package of bills included amendments to 55 laws. According to the government proposed plan, a separate agency, the State Security Service, should be set up from the 1st of August. The main goal of the proposal is the deconcentration of excessive powers within a single ministry. According to Deputy Minister Levan Izoria, counterterrorism center, counterintelligence, anti-corruption agencies, operative technical department, special operations department will be separated from the Interior Ministry to form the State Security Service. As a reminder, a candidate for the head of the State Security Service will be selected by the Prime Minister, then must be approved by the government members, then her or his nomination will be submitted to the Parliament for confirmation. A candidate needs the support of at least 76 lawmakers in the 150-seat Parliament to be confirmed as head of State Security Service for a 6-year term. This procedure of confirmation is not yet part of the proposed package, but will be laid out in Parliament's procedures and possibly in the proposed bill as well. In case of failure to gain support in Parliament, the same candidate can be renominated, but if rejected by lawmakers again, another candidate should be selected. Parliament will also have the power to sack the head of the service, who has to deliver a report to lawmakers once a year. Parliament fails to confirm the candidate by the 1st of August, the Prime Minister will appoint an acting head. Deputy heads of State Security Service will be appointed by the Prime Minister. The planned State Security Service, with about 4,000 employees, will require 36.7 million lari for August till year's end, allocated from the Interior Ministry's 2015 budget of 638.7 million lari. One of the main concerns voiced by human rights groups and civil society representatives, as well as by some Georgian Dream ruling coalition lawmakers, concerns the potential duplication of functions between the Interior Ministry and the planned State Security Service. Georgian Dream member of Parliament Vakhtang Khmaladze, who chairs the Legal Affairs Committee, said that the Interior Ministry representative to the committee has accepted many of the complaints about duplication of duties and powers, and it would be reflected in the bills by the time of the second hearing. Another issue triggering concern, especially from the Republican Party, is related to ODRs, an informal name of security agents, which stems from the Russian abbreviation ODR, or Active Reserve Officer. ODRs are security officers who are assigned by the Interior Ministry in various institutions, a practice which is a holdover from Soviet times when KGB agents were attached to various entities, and which also practiced under every post-Soviet government in Georgia. It's especially received criticism from civil society when such security officers are attached to entities like the public broadcaster, funny thing, and the Communications Regulatory Commission. The package will be put on a vote the next session of Parliament, scheduled for the 24th of June. The meme this week is the photo of the hippo going around Tbilisi. There's several of them, one in front of the Swatch store and others with the head of the zoo right after they'd been shot with a tranquilizer gun. Stuff to read is well-known blogger Sukhumi has photos of volunteers doing cleanup work in flood areas in Tbilisi. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty has photos of flood damages. Evgen Vorobyov of Foreign Policy argues that Misha's appointment as the governor of Odessa has reignited a struggle inside Ukraine's political elite. New York Times visits the Georgian bakery Tone Cafe in Brighton Beach, a place for people from the former Soviet Union to be nostalgic. Comedian John Oliver takes on Azerbaijan and the government's bad human rights record when it comes to European Games, which opened in Baku last week. It's fantastic. Take a look. Just search John Oliver and Azerbaijan. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty follows Misha into the Odessa meat market. That would be where meat is purchased to eat, not anything else, where he is introducing people to the new police chief, Georgi Lorkipanidze, and promises to crack down on corruption and drugs. Michael Cesiri writes on the growing trend of Georgians looking eastward towards Russia rather than westward to Europe using NDI data. The CRC looks at the average level of trust in institutions in the South Caucasus. Georgian Journal has a small story on the 15-year-old boy whose mother and aunt were killed in the floods and who worked to save dogs from the dog shelter. All those stuff posted are going to be posted on our forum on things to read. Geocapital number this week is 7,800,000. That's how many lari the National Tourism Administration said that it would spend on the country's advertisement abroad in 2015, up from 4,400,000 lari in 2014. Ukraine and Russia remain the target countries. The National Tourism Administration developed a national tourism sector development strategy until 2025 with help from the World Bank and tourism consulting firm Solimar International. Amidani Cinema is playing Jurassic World every day until the 23rd of June at 10:20 p.m. University College London is hosting a charity lecture in aid for the Tbilisi flood. It's on the 25th of June in London at 6 p.m. Costs £5. Speakers will include the brilliant and cool Donald Rayfield. It's organized by a group of Georgian students at UCL who want to help back home. You can get a ticket on Eventbrite if you search for UCL Aid for Tbilisi Flood or something like that. You'll find it. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from 1966, this is The Capitals with Cool Jerk.
Now, said, now the moment of truth has finally come. When I'ma show you some of that cool dirt. Now give me a little bit of drum by himself there. Now give me a little bit of bass with those 88s.